Apple cider vinegar, consuming that with meals actually helps your body absorb minerals better because it helps stimulate stomach acid, bile, and pancreatic enzymes so you digest your meal more effectively.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Jocker's Functional Nutrition Podcast, the show designed to give you science-based solutions to improve your health and life. I'm Dr. David Jockers, Doctor of Natural Medicine and creator of drjockers.com, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm here to tell you that your body was created to heal itself, and on this show, we focus on strategies you can apply today to heal and function at your best. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's go into the show. It's estimated that 50% of people are deficient in vitamin D. If you've been feeling depressed, anxious, irritable, tired, or forgetful, you're likely one of them. But why are deficiency rates so high? Well, for starters, most people think they get enough vitamin D from the sun. But here's the thing, most people are not. Even the reports show that people in sunny Miami, Florida have shockingly low levels of vitamin D. And since vitamin D isn't in many foods, you can forget about getting enough through your diet. So where does that leave us? With supplements. But there's another problem. Most vitamin D supplements just don't work. All too often, they get destroyed by your stomach acid. And most of what does make it through to the gut simply passes through to be, well, you know. But a revolutionary supplement brand has changed everything with one simple factor. Their vitamin D actually gets absorbed by your body. Purality Health's vitamin D3 is infused with a protective micelle liposomal formula that delivers the vitamin directly to your gut lining for full absorption into the bloodstream. This way, you can actually feel what it's like to have proper vitamin D levels. I know the people over at Purality Health, and they have vitamin D users emailing them all the time to rave about how impressed their doctors are by their raised vitamin D levels. Because not only does vitamin D impact how you feel, it's super important for bone health, immunity, and brain function. And if you want to meet your health potential, it's time for Purality Health's vitamin D formula. Right now, my listeners can get 30% off Purality Health's unique vitamin D3 formula. All you need to do is visit puralityhealth.com and use promo code DRJ at checkout to get your supply of highly absorbable vitamin D. So go to puralityhealth.com and use promo code DRJ and start feeling the benefits of healthy vitamin D levels today. This podcast is an audio recording of one of my most popular YouTube videos on how to eat to reduce pain and inflammation. So many people out there that are dealing with chronic pain, whether it's muscle pain, joint pain, headaches, whatever it is, the way that you eat really impacts that. It impacts the overall level of inflammation in your system. We know inflammation is at the root of chronic pain. And so in this podcast, I'm going to go through and I'm going to do a deep dive on how to set up your diet, the kinds of foods that have a powerful anti-inflammatory pain-reducing effect, and how to incorporate them in the proper dosages to really get the best anti-inflammatory pain-reducing benefits. I'm also going to go through, of course, the foods you want to avoid, because there are certain foods that are very pro-inflammatory that drive up inflammation and have our major contributors to chronic pain. So I'm going to go through what to avoid, what to consume, best dosages, and we're going to go through that in detail. You guys are going to enjoy this podcast. If you know anybody that's dealing with chronic pain, please send them this podcast. This information can make a real big impact on their life. And if you've not left us a 5-star review, now's the time to do that. Just go to Apple iTunes, wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. That helps us reach more people and impact more lives with this message. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for being a part of our community. Let's go into the show.
Today, we're talking about how to eat to reduce pain and inflammation in your body. When it comes to pain and inflammation, nutrition plays a key role. And so there's a couple of things that people are doing that are driving up inflammation in their body when it comes to their diet. And so we go right there. These are the three big things, three big takeaways that you want to come out of this with. And then also I'm going to go through the best foods and nutrition principles to follow. Number one is reduce sugar, grains, and starches when we're consuming a lot of food with sugar, processed foods, lots of foods with grains and starches, there's a lot of empty calories there. We're not getting a whole lot of nutrients, and we're getting a lot of calories, particularly calories that are driving up our blood sugar and driving up insulin levels. And when sugar goes up, it drives up inflammation. When insulin goes up, that brings up inflammation in the system. And so we want foods that are going to help stabilize and balance our blood sugar. And that's why we want to reduce sugar, grains, and starches. Number two is getting rid of bad fats and increasing the amount of good fats. What are bad fats? It's going to be our processed seed oils, corn oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, cottonseed oil, peanut oil, canola oil, and hydrogenated oils. So if you see partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oils, these are trans fats. All of these seed oils, they are all high in omega-6 fats, which increase inflammation in our system. They're also very fragile oils. And so they ultimately have a high oxidative burden in our system. That means they increase oxidation, which is an increase of rusting in our system. You think about like an apple, how you take a bite out of an apple and you let it sit out and it turns brown. That's oxidation. That's what these seed oils do inside of our system. They increase oxidation or rusting or aging. That drives up inflammation, drives up pain in our system. So we want to get rid of those. And instead, we want to get our fats from grass-fed animal products, wild-caught seafood. When animals are eating grass, when fish are wild-caught, they're going to have higher amounts of omega-3s, lower amounts of omega-6s. They're also going to have healthy amounts of things like conjugated linoleic acid and different fat-soluble antioxidants that bring down inflammation and oxidative stress in our system. You also want things like extra virgin olive oil, avocados, coconut oil. Those are all healthier fat sources that we want to be getting our fats from. So getting rid of the bad fats, getting the good fats. And then number three is getting rid of chemicals. We're trying to do our best to reduce our exposure to chemicals. When it comes to our diet, chemicals come in the form of pesticides, herbicides, mycotoxins, and even some anti-nutrients like oxalates. The more that we can kind of reduce our exposure to some of these things, the better, particularly the man-made toxins, chemicals like pesticides and herbicides. We definitely want to avoid those as much as possible. They're never healthy. A certain amount of oxalates or plant-based anti-nutrients can actually have some health benefits. Phytic acids, a lot of these plant-based chemicals or plant-based compounds that we think of as being negative can have positive benefits when they're consumed in moderation for a certain type of individual, right? Some individuals have a higher threshold than others, and others, you know, need less of those types of foods. But as much as possible, of course, avoiding the man-made chemicals is super key here. So meal principles. When it comes to meals, we want to be consuming 2 to 3 meals a day. So your average adult, unless you're like a high-level athlete, you're exercising for, you know, more than 45 minutes or an hour a day, you shouldn't need more than 2 to 3 meals a day. Most people can do great with just 2 meals a day. Some individuals may need 3 if they're not able to consume a larger meal. Or again, if they're trying to build lean body mass or doing intense weight training to try to build muscle tissue, then you might need 3 meals a day. And so 2 to 3 meals should be fine. You shouldn't need to snack outside of that. Snacking increases blood sugar, increases insulin, and causes our body to be poor fat burners. When we're burning fat for fuel, fat is a preferred energy source. It's actually very, very metabolically clean. We're able to burn fat and produce less oxidative stress than when we're burning sugar. If we're constantly eating throughout the day, and particularly foods that are perhaps higher in sugar and starch, we're going to be driving up insulin and telling our body burn sugar for fuel. And that's fine if we burn a little bit of sugar, but if we're always burning sugar for fuel, we're producing a lot of oxidative stress, which is going to drive up inflammation in our system. That's going to drive up pain. So by consuming 2 to 3 meals a day, we give ourselves a lot of time and space between meals. That brings our blood sugar and insulin down and allows our insulin to go under a certain threshold where we start to burn fat. We can't burn fat as long as insulin's elevated. So when insulin goes down under this threshold, we start burning fat for fuel. Again, that's a cleaner energy source and more anti-inflammatory energy source when we start burning our own body fat. So 2 to 3 meals a day will do that. Also, make sure that we're consuming 30 to 50 grams of protein per meal. So when you're setting up your meal, really think about the protein and the fat. You don't necessarily need to count carbohydrates or count calories, but be very considerate of how much protein is in that meal. For good blood sugar stability, we want 30 to 50 or perhaps more grams of protein in that meal. The only time we really need more is, again, if you're trying to build muscle mass. So if you are doing intense strength training to try to build muscle mass, in some cases, you may need more than 50 grams of protein. But for most people, 30 to 50 grams is a really good sweet spot. Try to get that in the meals that you're consuming. That will stabilize your blood sugar, help your body build lean body mass, bone tissue, muscle tissue. It'll help you burn fat for fuel and help keep blood sugar stable and inflammation under control. So get the protein, 15 to 30 grams of fat in a meal. Some people can consume a high amount of fat in a meal and feel great. I can do that. I have no problem consuming 50 or more grams of fat, 50 to, you know, even 60 or 70 grams of fat in a meal, and I still feel fine. Other people, if they consume 20 grams of fat in a meal, they don't feel good. They feel bloated. They get acid reflux. They have a lot of different unwanted digestive symptoms. So if that's you, perhaps you have sluggish bile flow. You need bile to emulsify the fat and to break down the fat and absorb it properly. Some people have very, very sluggish bile flow. You may need less fat. Maybe you don't have a gallbladder. Maybe you've had liver issues. You might need 15, 20 grams of fat in that meal. The fat combined with the protein is going to help stabilize your blood sugar. And that's super key for keeping inflammation and pain under control. And then you top it off with colorful fruits and vegetables. When you're getting fruits and vegetables that have a lot of color to them, they're going to provide a lot of nutrients for your body. And as long as your protein and your fat are stable, you've got a good amount of those. Like I just mentioned, that's going to keep your blood sugar stable. So you'll still be able to enjoy some of the sugary fruit that you might be consuming without having a blood sugar imbalance and without driving up insulin through the roof. And so make sure you get your protein, healthy fats under control, then fill it with colorful fruits and vegetables. All the different colors of fruits and vegetables have different polyphenol antioxidants that provide a wide range of health benefits, really support our gut microbiome, our immune system, and provide nutrients that we need for healthy skin, healthy brain, healthy hair, and really just the energy we need to thrive in life. So that's what we want to be focusing on. Now let's talk about the best foods. Well, if we're going to talk about protein and fat first in our meals, where are we going to get that from? Wild caught seafood, rich in omega-3 fats, rich in protein, rich in key nutrients like zinc, selenium, iodine. So I love wild caught seafood. Number two is grass-fed animal products. As much as possible with your animal products, you want to make sure you're getting grass-fed. When you're getting conventionally raised animal products, that's going to be really high in pesticides, herbicides, hormones, antibiotics, all these types of chemicals that are bad for your body. So you want to get grass-fed, as much as possible, 100% grass-fed animal products or pasture-raised animal products in certain circumstances, like with eggs. You're not going to find 100% grass-fed. Chickens can't live off of grass alone, but you'll find pasture-raised where they're eating insects and they're eating all kinds of things they find naturally in pasture. Whereas with cows, cows can live 100% on grass and green, leafy types of, you know, vegetables. And so you can find 100% grass-fed beef, 100% grass-fed dairy products. That's what we want to look for there. Number three, extra virgin olive oil. One of the most powerful anti-inflammatory foods you could put in your body is a high polyphenol extra virgin olive oil. It should have almost like a bitter, peppery type flavor to it. That's the polyphenols. That's where the real anti-inflammatory power comes from. There's a couple polyphenols in your extra virgin olive oil. Oleocanthal is one. That is called nature's ibuprofen. It is really powerful at downregulating inflammation and pain in the body. There's another one called hydroxytyrosol. That crosses the blood-brain barrier and has great benefits on reducing inflammation in your brain. That's going to help you have better memory, better mood, better cognitive acceleration, the ability to think sharply and quickly. If you're feeling a lot of moodiness, depression, sadness, anger, irritability, frustration, brain fog, right? These are all signs of brain inflammation. Extra virgin olive oil, because of the hydroxytyrosol and the oleocanthals, really powerful for reducing that inflammation in the brain and helping improve your mood, your memory, and your mental performance.
I just wanted to interrupt this podcast to talk to you about your lymphatic system. You see, one of the best ways to reduce uncomfortable swelling in your legs or ankles, to flush out excess fluid, to burn fat, is by unclogging your lymphatic system. Over time, your lymphatic system can become clogged due to injuries or bacterial invasions, and this can lead to chronic swelling in your arms, legs, or ankles. And that's why I love Lymph System Support by Pure Health Research. This natural formula contains ingredients like dandelion extract, burdock root, and bromelain, which help cleanse your tissues, reduce swelling and fluid retention, and support a healthy inflammatory response. As a listener of my show, you can try Lymph System Support risk-free today and get a free bottle of curcumin extract with your order. This curcumin extract contains curcugin, which is 39 times more bioavailable than standard curcumin. This is a great option if you're struggling with stiff or aching joints. Just go to getlymphhelp.com/jockers. That's getlymphhelp.com/jockers to take advantage of this special limited time offer today. Again, that's getlymphhelp.com/jockers.
Avocados, amazing food for reducing inflammation, loaded with healthy fats, also carotenoid antioxidants that are very good for skin health, help support collagen production. There's actually a type of carbohydrate in here called D-mannoheptulose that helps support collagen and elastin production for healthy skin. So avocados are a great anti-aging food for that reason. They also have carotenoids, lutein, zeaxanthin, alpha and beta carotene that are great for reducing inflammation in and around the skin, eyes, the brain as well. So really good stuff there. Fruit in general, loaded with polyphenols, loaded with antioxidants, and also with fruit, particularly certain types of fruits, like let's say pineapple or a mango or an orange, you have structured water, apples, rich in structured water. That structured water helps with cell-to-cell communication. So fruit does have sugar in it, but it also has the structured water, polyphenols, different antioxidants, and also has fiber in it. What I don't recommend is fruit juice. If you're just consuming the fruit juice, you still have some of the structured water, but you don't have the fiber that's in there, and you have a reduced amount of antioxidants that help kind of buffer and help your body deal with the increase in sugar. So I recommend whole fruit. Whole fruit is kind of where you want to go with this. And that goes back to number three, when I talked about reducing chemicals. Instead, you want to go organic as much as possible and go whole food as much as possible. When it comes to going organic, there's something called the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen that the Environmental Working Group has created. And the Dirty Dozen are the produce that's most highly sprayed with pesticides and herbicides, whereas the Clean 15 are the ones that are least sprayed with pesticides and herbicides. And the general rule is, if you're going to eat the outer layer of the produce, for example, if I'm going to eat the outer layer of a blueberry, I want to make sure I get that organic. If you're going to peel the outer layer, like a banana or an avocado or an onion or something like that, not as important to get that organic, because that peel is adding a protective layer, preventing pests from getting in there. So therefore, it's going to have less chemicals sprayed on it. So that's kind of the general rule we want to follow there. So fruit is a great thing to add in. Number six, and this gets a little nuanced, is what we call low to moderate oxalate veggies. So oxalates are a plant-based defense chemical that protects the plant. We find higher amounts of oxalates in certain types of foods. A lot of green leafy vegetables like spinach are higher in oxalates. Beets are higher in oxalates. Nuts are higher in these oxalates. Some individuals do fine with them. Other individuals, they cause a lot of gastrointestinal problems. They actually increase inflammation and pain in the system. They can increase your risk of kidney stones and a lot of other negative effects. And so I recommend a lower to moderate oxalate consumption diet. So some of my favorite lower to moderate oxalate veggies are going to be cucumbers, arugula, celery, cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower, broccoli, bok choy. Those are all lower to moderate oxalate veggies. Green beans, mushrooms, onions, carrots, peas, hearts of palm, artichokes. These are all really good ones to be getting into your diet because they're lower in oxalates and they have a lot of great nutrients, plant-based fiber. That's really good for your gut microbiome as well. Number seven is apple cider vinegar or lemon or lime. Apple cider vinegar, consuming that with meals actually helps your body absorb minerals better because it helps stimulate stomach acid, bile, and pancreatic enzymes so you digest your meal more effectively. On top of that, apple cider vinegar is rich in postbiotics, acetic acid, for example, that reduces inflammation in your gut and in your bloodstream, in your cardiovascular system. It actually helps improve endothelial lining of the blood vessels and helps to stabilize blood pressure and reduce overall inflammation in your bloodstream and helps reduce pain. It's been shown to help improve individuals that are dealing with chronic pain as well. So apple cider vinegar or lemon and lime, you can put it on food. You could take like a tablespoon in water before a meal. Some people just like to do it in the morning when they wake up. That's great. You're getting those postbiotic nutrients. I also recommend doing it along with a meal. So you get the benefit of increasing stomach acid, digestive enzymes, and pancreatic, bile and pancreatic enzymes, so you can digest your meal, your food more effectively. Number eight is herbs, okay? We wanna make sure we're getting a lot of good herbs. I love the very aromatic herbs, the ones that you smell, oregano, basil, thyme, garlic, rosemary, parsley, sage. These are all great. And they're all carminatives. They help improve digestive function. They help with motility in the gut. They help, they're antimicrobial, so they help kill off bad bacteria, yeast, fungus, parasites, things like that. And when we smell them before the meal, that helps activate our digestive juices. So we get better stomach acid production, better bile flow, better pancreatic enzymes. So we digest our meal more effectively. And they make food taste better, right? So getting those in there, ginger is another really good one, cinnamon, turmeric, right? All of those fantastic herbs to be adding into our diet. So start using herbs more on a regular basis. That will help bring down inflammation in your system. Stick to the food principles I just talked about. Main principles, reducing sugar, starches, and grains, getting rid of bad fats, increasing good fats, getting or reducing our amount of chemical exposure and increasing the amount of organic whole food-based products. Less processing, the better, right? So whole food-based products, eating the whole fruit rather than fruit juice would be an example of whole food versus a processed food. Meal principles, 2 to 3 meals a day. You shouldn't need to snack throughout the day. That's just gonna drive up blood sugar and insulin and increase inflammation. 30 to 50 plus grams of protein per meal. 15 to 30 grams of healthy fats per meal, and then getting a lot of colorful fruits and vegetables into your diet as well. If you're doing those things, it's going to help you bring down inflammation. Obviously, every individual may have a certain sensitivity. You may have a sensitivity to dairy and not be able to consume dairy. Somebody else may have a sensitivity to eggs and not be able to consume eggs, or at least when they do, they have more inflammation. Other people may have a sensitivity to nuts and seeds, and that drives up inflammation in their system. So you want to look out for any sort of food sensitivity you may have and do your best to minimize or avoid those foods. Some of you guys are wondering, why didn't I have nuts and seeds in this category of best foods? I consider nuts and seeds to be a mediocre to slightly above average food for most people, meaning that it's not really a wonderful food because there's a lot of anti-nutrients in nuts and seeds. So for some individuals, they can consume nuts and seeds and feel fine. For other individuals, it actually drives up inflammation in their system. I would recommend sticking mostly with these foods and then adding nuts and seeds in small moderation if you feel like you handle them well on the side. But really sticking with the foods I talked about as kind of your foundational foods that you're looking to get into your diet. One caveat that I didn't really go through, but I did a little bit with apple cider vinegar, is fermented foods. So getting like fermented cabbage, like sauerkraut, kimchi, pickles, things like that. Getting some sort of fermented food also can be a great addition to your meal. That's gonna have more of these postbiotic nutrients. It's gonna help support the microbiome. It's also gonna have natural enzymes in there, kind of like the apple cider vinegar does, that help support digestive juice production to help you digest your meal more effectively. If you look at all different types of cultures out there, like the Asian culture, they've got pickled ginger with the sushi, for example. Europeans would do sauerkraut with their meals. The Asians would do kimchi, right? So different cultures, they always had some sort of fermented vegetable or a kefir, like a fermented yogurt or fermented fermented dairy product. And that would help them digest their meal more effectively and get more of the nutrients out of their meal. So if you can add in a good fermented food that your body, you feel like your body responds well to, then great. That's only going to help you absorb those nutrients well. Again, last caveat, if you have a food sensitivity or allergy, or maybe you have a histamine intolerance, some of the foods I talked about, you may not be able to respond well to. Some people with histamine issues don't do well with apple cider vinegar, or they don't do well with a fermented vegetable or an avocado. If that's you, do your best to avoid those while you're focusing on all the other anti-inflammatory foods so you get the nutrients you need, create the blood sugar stability, create the gut microbiome you need to be really healthy and well, to keep in pain and inflammation under control. And then hopefully down the road, unless you have a full-blown allergy to that particular food, you can add back some of these key foods that are very health benefiting, but you had a sensitivity or an allergy to, and hopefully you can add that back in down the road. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of this video. Please share it with anybody that you know and you care about. And we'll see you on a future video training. Be blessed.
Well, that's all for this show. And I want to thank you again for spending your valuable time with me today. And if there was something you heard in this interview that you have questions on or you want to dive into deeper, then drjockers.com is the best place to go. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider taking just a quick moment and giving us a great review. Your reviews help us influence more people and transform more lives. And if you took something valuable away from this episode, then please share it with someone in your life you know it can help. We'll see you soon on a future podcast. Be blessed, everybody.